Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again that we can come together as a sweet fellowship. And it's sweet, Lord God, because you live within us, your Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us and filling us with your love that we can love one another. So, Father, I ask you tonight, work through your servant. Let your Holy Spirit be heard and not him. And forgive me, Lord, for my sins. Lord, there are many and you know it. But, Lord, you're gracious and you're all forgiving. So tonight we just ask you by your Spirit, speak to us, Lord. Let you be heard and you alone. And may we learn tonight truly how much you do love us and how much you want to use us for your glory and honor and especially for our good too, Lord. So I thank you tonight. Bless those that are here. Use your servant as you will. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Well, guess where we are? How about Galatians 5? We're going to be starting at verse 7 and through 15, but as Bill says, I probably won't get through it, but I'm going to do my best for you. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. And we all know what Paul was battling, don't we? Do you remember? The Judaizers. Judaism, that's a good one. So we know that, and he was accused of a lot of different things, but he starts out here, you ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What truth was that? The truth about Christ crucified, risen, coming again. He fulfilled salvation. He fulfilled the law completely. So now he said it's finished. The last three words he said on the cross, it is finished. So he completed it all. But yet these Jews were getting saved. And then they were saying, yes, but you must do this. And we hear this today. Turn on the TV. Listen to any of these guys. You got to do this. You got to do that. So we still hear it today. And what's beautiful about this fellowship is because if we truly listen, when we truly listen to what's being spoken from our pulpit, and ourselves also, we can't rely everything on him, but we have to read the word too. We have to allow the Holy, I emphasize this every time I get up here, the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. We extol Paul and all these other saints, which up to a point's fine, but it's truly, they were obedient, and the Holy Spirit worked through them. Yes or no?
Yes.
I just can't stress it enough. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not JK. It's not me. It's not Bob. It's the Holy Spirit works through the vessel that is obedient. Okay? And that's a key word, obedient. Obedient to what? The truth. His truth. Not my truth. It's his truth. So I try to always be expedient to the word, to bring you the word the way he presented it, and let him speak through me. Amen? And this is what I try to do constantly. So he's saying, who hindered you? And he uses a lot of this metaphorically speaking, things like this, the race you run and so on and so forth. And this particular word, hinder, is actually from an Olympic term that they're coming down to the finish line and the guy's getting ready to go over and the guy knocks him out of the way. And that's what it kind of alludes to. So he used it a lot, run the race and so on and so forth, metaphorically speaking. Things that they understood at the time. And it's things that we should understand now too, because we will have people trying to hinder us. But just remember, you've heard this before from him too, it's not the person, it's the spirit behind the person. Amen? It's the spirit behind the person. So, you ran well. For a while, they were doing fine. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes into the fellowship and says, well, now that you've got Christ in your life, and I'm a Jew, and I know all these things, and you must have Christ, yes, but all these other things, and it's no different today. So that's why it's so very, very important who you listen to, who you watch. Everything that you hear stays here. Do you believe that? It stays there. So, and once you hear it, it can influence you to a point where you're going to start saying, well, is what he's saying true? Do you understand what I'm saying? It happens. It happens. The seed will be planted, and if you don't stay in the Word, you will be drawn away. It's inevitable. It will happen. That's why what they're doing is splitting chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis.
Right.
But I've heard it 1,000 times. Right. I know who's teaching it. Okay? But the whole point is that you will never go astray. Not everything is explained to us, but everything that we do need to know will be revealed to us. Amen? And like I said last week, some of us has more light than others. Don't ever forget that, okay? Now, JK's got a lot more light than I do. I might catch him someday, but I doubt it. I'm looking for the rapture. That's why I stretch it so much. Okay, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The Bible is the truth. That's the Word of God. Jesus is the living Logos, because Logos is Word. Jesus is the living Logos, right? The Bible is the written Logos, and the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks the Logos. Okay? He speaks what Christ tells him to speak to us. And as we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, He works through us. So, that is the truth. And this persuasion, verse 8, this persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. Now, your Bible better have a capital H. Him. Who is he talking about? Amen. So, that persuasion, that word actually means the false doctrine, the false heresy, all this garbage that the Judaizers were bringing in to these new Christians. These Gentiles that became followers of Christ. They're bringing in this persuasion, this false doctrine, the false teaching, bringing in the law back in to grace. Grace and law is like oil and water. They don't mix. So we as believers, we've been set free, right? We're walking in the grace that can only come through the born-again experience. So we're walking in that liberty that we have. And if we start saying, well, maybe part of this law we should keep. Do you realize now that you're born again, you do keep the commandments? Do you realize that? They're kept through Jesus Christ. He was the perfect one. He kept them all. We're in Him. So we obey the law. We love the law. The law is good. It's perfect. Converting the soul. The law was to show us. But He kept it. So we keep it. There's only one law, and it's really not done away with. The Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? I've shared with you before. It's like, what is it? Rest. That's what it's not a day of worship. It's a day of rest. But we keep all Ten Commandments. We walk in them because we're walking in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Amen? So, this perversion, this false doctrine was coming in and hindering their growth. Hindering their growth. You grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by the association that we have with Him through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So that's how we grow in the grace. And that's how we get more light. That's how we can know for sure right off the bat if something's coming at us. And it's wrong because we know. We have that discernment. We have that discernment to know what is true and what isn't because we stay within the confines of the Scripture. And we have the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us if we listen, if we're obedient. It's obedience. The Lord doesn't want sacrifice. He wants obedience. Amen? Verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What is leaven? Thank you. Sin. That's right. But In Matthew 33, I believe, it's used as a positive leaven. And that's about the only place I know of it that's used as positive. Now, back when they were leaving Egypt, what was the main reason for the leaven? It talks about leaven, but in a positive wording there. So the leaven, back when they were leaving Egypt, and they were told no leaven in the house. Now, why was that? Can anybody throw out something? If you're going to have a loaf of bread and you put leaven in it, yeah, it does. Takes a while, though, doesn't it? Doesn't take a while? Yeah, so they had to leave in a hurry. No leaven. No leaven, okay? Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I knew it was 33. I just forgot the first part. No big deal. Sooner or later, you'd find it. But that's where it's used in the positive. And there may be someplace else, but I don't think so. Usually it's sin, okay? And a little bit, say for example, he would catch it. Somebody comes into the fellowship some Sunday, and they just start talking, they start saying different things to certain people and so on and so forth. You know, a little leaven here. Then it starts spreading through, and before you know it, the whole loaf is starting to get infected with that leaven. And all it takes is just a little bit. And this is where we have to be careful in our own lives, because it only takes a little. And then if you think about that, and it festers, and then before you know it, it just multiplies. It multiplies. So even a little bit, that's why we individually have to be careful, and plus collectively as a fellowship. If somebody comes up and says, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Cut them off. You don't need that. Because that's sin. That's gossip. Now, if you know something, and you know there's a prayer warrior, they're really walking with the Lord, you want to share with them for prayer between the two of you, that's a little different. But just to gossip, to bring something out, that's sin. And that can infester in the fellowship. I've seen it happen. And then before you know it, you got a little catch here and catch there, and then the sin starts festering. So we have to be careful as believers. As soon as you see it, cut it off. Amen? So, and it only takes a little bit. Verse 10, I have confidence in you in the Lord. See that? I have confidence in you in the Lord. You catch that? If we're truly walking with the Lord, trusting in Him, listening to the Holy Spirit, and be it obedient, then we can have confidence in one another and walk in fellowship with one another. And that's what he's saying here. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you, he shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And that means exactly what it says. There's no other interpretation for that I can see. He's saying that God is no respecter of people, of a person. Amen? So, somebody comes in, very eloquent and so on and so forth, they start spreading this garbage. You don't listen to them. In Galatians 2:6, also on the same principle, Galatians 2:6, but from those who seem to be something, whether they were, it makes no difference to me, God shows personal favoritism to no man, for those who seem to be something add nothing to me. God looks for humble servants. Humble servants. And humility only comes as you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you truly believe that you are a servant to everybody. Amen? A servant to everybody. We had the greatest example when the Savior took that pan of water and that towel and washed the feet of the disciples and even the one that betrayed him. Amen? That's humility. You don't get humility. You become humble by your relationship with the true humble one. Amen. Verse 11, "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased." What's he mean by that? Well, the cross is an offense, isn't it? Because at the cross, everything was completed, right? So, if some was completed and some wasn't, then the cross is no offense, is it? You can walk with the Lord and get circumcised. You women can't, but, you know, you can walk with the Lord and do whatever you want. You can do your own thing. We're saved by grace, but not cheap grace, because it cost him everything. Amen? Be obedient to the word means following every jot and tittle. Not some here and some there. Like some people, I know, I've heard stories, I don't know if it's true because I never read it, but there was one famous preacher that tore out James out of the book. Didn't like James. Then there's another one I heard, he got his own Bible. He actually took out this and that and compiled his own Bible. Remember what it, he said it and I said it? Genesis to the book of maps. Everything, all of it. It's all together. You don't take some and leave it out. You don't get rid of something because you don't like it. If you don't like it, it means it's applying to me or you. So we got to deal with that. We got to let the Lord deal with us. If there's something in here that affects me, and this has, then he's got to deal with me. And I got to be willing to be obedient to that dealing. This was another struggle for me today to bring this message tonight. But God will deal with us if we want it. If you don't want it, he won't. He's a gentleman. He will not force his way into our lives. We have to be the willing recipients of the blessing or the chastening, whichever it may be. He will use people. Okay? Now, if you get chastened by somebody you love and you care about, you will take it as best as you can. And if you can't, then you pray about it. Amen? Because, and he's so faithful. He is so faithful because he's told us through his word, he was talking to the apostles, and he says, "Now you've asked everything from me." He says, "I'm leaving, but when I do, you can ask the Father anything in my name, and he will give it unto you according to his will." And I've proven in my life, in the struggles, I'll ask the Father through Christ. He meets me where I'm at. He'll do it for all of us, because that's his promise. If we ask anything in his name, we ask the Father anything in his name according to his will, it's granted unto us. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. If it's his will. So this is what he's saying here, that everything was finished at the cross. If we mix grace and law together, there's no offense anymore. The cross doesn't mean anything. But it means everything to us that are born again. That's why we want to be obedient to everything he says. And this is, I like this one. Verse 12. "I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off." Now, the real Greek, you know what it's saying? Cut them off, guys. What is it? Masculate them? Masculate, castrate. Cut them off. That was tough language. But he was making a point here. The holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect sacrifice, the total suffering that he went through even before he got to the cross, and then hanging on that cross all that time, and he set us free, and you're going to bring us back under the law? No. That's why he was so stringent there. Cut yourselves off. Masculate yourselves. don't do this to that finished work of the cross. Amen? 13. Well, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now, we know, I've said it a number of times, JK has, everybody has, we know we have that sin nature. And we know we're going to keep that sin nature until he takes us home. All right? Now, here's the key. We have the power of the Holy Spirit because he's living in us, right? So that sin nature has been unplugged. It's been unplugged. If he lives within us, then that sin nature has no power over us anymore, right? But every now and then, I plug it back in. I just take that whole thing, I plug it right back into that socket, and then I get in the flesh. And that happens when something happens to me I don't like, and I react too quickly. Is anybody in here like that, that they react too quickly? There's a couple of us. And that's, and when we react that way, I hate to say this, but it's true because I'm living proof. You're in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. We're not truly keeping our eyes on the finished work of the cross. When Jesus says it's finished, it's finished. The Holy Spirit lives within you. It's been unplugged. You keep plugging it back in. And this is where your downfall every time. Every time. And that's when the Holy Spirit says, okay, you did it again. You did it again. And it's a constant struggle. But we can't blame it on anybody but us most of the time. 99 times out of 100, it's my fault. That 1%, it's the enemy of our soul, not the person doing it to me, the spirit behind the person. So Satan still is alive and well in Green Valley, and he will try his best. That's what I tell the old people when I'm speaking to them. You know, they think, you know, well, I'm 90 now, so no, you're not free from it. As long as you're alive, you're still going to have slewfoot coming at you. But 9 times out of 10, with myself, it's me. Okay? So, we've been called to liberty. That liberty that we have is that we are saved, born again, we're going to heaven. That's our liberty. Okay? And we know that. But also, we have that total freedom in Christ. As you all know, that I used to take a nip every now and then, okay? And sometimes I'd go overboard, like for 30-some years. I could still go out right now, and I know I could, and have a couple beers, it wouldn't affect me at all. And I know that. But I choose not to, okay? I don't have to worry about it. But I could. I'm set free from all those things that bound me up before I knew the Lord. So I'm at liberty, but I'm not going to take that liberty and mess it up for somebody else that is still struggling. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be careful because we do have this total liberty. But there again, that comes from the Holy Spirit speaking to us and guiding us. If I know somebody in here has got a problem, and we go out for lunch, and I know they got a problem, I'm not going to order a beer. I don't anyway. Please, don't get me wrong. I don't drink. All right? But this liberty, we have to be careful with it, especially for those with a little bit of light. You understand what I'm saying? Now, he and I could go out and I could have a beer. It wouldn't bother him. You see what I'm saying? Okay? Is my point across? I don't want to belabor it. Any questions? Because JK can answer you. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. One word. What is that one word? Love. The title of this, in this particular study guide, love fulfills the law. Because love hung on that cross, right? That was love. Love hung on that cross for 6 hours. Those nails didn't keep him on that cross. His love kept him on that cross because he could have got off that cross just like that. But his love. So love fulfilled the laws. Amen? His love fulfilled the laws. His love for the Father and His love for us. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the world teaches that you don't have enough self-esteem. You don't love yourself enough. Blah, 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 blah. That's a bunch of garbage. One point is you got too much self-esteem and you love yourself too much. Go ahead. We, as born-again believers, we can't do that. We shouldn't want to do that. But the flesh sometimes will creep in there. See, that's why we got to rely on the Holy Spirit. Can't rely on myself because I prove it too often, too many times during the day. I can't rely on myself. For this walk, I have to rely on Him that lives within me to help me make this walk. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So if we start fighting amongst one another, we're going to start eating up one another and causing division. You guys have been through divisions before, so you know what it's like. And all it takes is, I know this one fellowship, they split over the color of the carpet. Color of the carpet. That's flesh. That's self-esteem. It's Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I got to do it my way. So, 15, we've got to have that sweet fellowship, and it only comes as we're obedient to the Lord, putting up with one another, our little idiosyncrasies. You guys are putting up with me, what, three, four Thursdays in a row? Do you understand what I'm saying? We get to know one another. And we've all got problems. I don't care who we are, you know. But we're going to work through them, aren't we? As long as we keep our eyes on the finished work of the cross. Okay? And I wrote this right here. Sometimes I can't read my writing, but it's read often. And this is what I read a lot, and I speak it a lot because I believe it a lot. Verse 16, and I'm going to close with this. Give everybody time to pray. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now I got right on there, big letters, read often. But as you can understand the way I'm speaking, I don't read it often enough. But we need that fellowship, that pure fellowship with one another in the power and love of the Holy Spirit lives within us, will guide us, and He speaks to us all day long. All day long. He speaks to us at night when we're sleeping because the Word has been planted into our heart. But we must be obedient. Without obedience, it's very, very hard. Amen?